You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I love when an interview guest refers to you as Danny. It just it makes it sound
it's
casual.
It's just him and Michael Wilbon, right?
I know, that's, but I love it. The list? It just makes me happy.
I was Danny in college. I was Danny Levitard. You can find old Hurricane articles, Danny Levitard. And then it tends to be, in the case of Wilbon, it's because he's known me since then. It's because it goes back just about that far. I think I don't know when I lost Danny. Like, when does Billy become Bill?
Never. He seems to insist on his brand being Billy. So I don't know if... Bill Gill.
I
guess that's why it can't be, right?
No, I need him to be. I need him. Look, we've got an issue here, right? Because Skipper, for a long time, was trying to empower everybody, minorities and everything else. And we're supposed to be a brown spaceship that's fighting everybody in the modern age. Rogan and Simmons and Barstool, we're going to be a brown spaceship. But all my brown guys are Mike Ryan, Bill Gill,
Chris Whittingham.
Chris Whittingham is 100% Colombian. And how about Jason Gallagher? I learned he was El Salvadorian the other day. He's got an Irish name. Yes, we don't have any people who are willing to identify as Latin. I had to put my dad on television in order to do it because I'm Dan.
It's not so much willing so much as unable. My last name's Whittingham. What, do you want to change my last name?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, Mike Ryan Ruiz.
Well, Ruiz, yeah, Mike could have. But he was fighting some things back in the day. That was a fight that he had to wage, and now he's Mike Ryan Ruiz.
I just love the idea of it because symbolically for me, right? Like as we talk about the size of the story of what makes me sob, 10 minutes before we started, and I don't know how much time we left and I have left, and I also don't know how much I bored you, sort of reminiscing about what this weekend meant to me. So please excuse me as somebody who's trying to build something authentic in front of you that allows you to see how the pieces work. That I get emotional about what this whole weekend was after cashing that bet in a pandemic with the idea that Bill Gill now has a baby. And like we bet on ourselves. We bet that Saturday would be good. And I knew it would be simply because I knew the love that was flooding into the room. And from there, my friend John Skipper is going to help us build a business that's legitimate. We go through everything that we went through at ESPN where I didn't even know, Chris, in how many ways he was protecting me in the shadows. Like I would get back from some private dinner. This is how few people get access to this kind of thing that exists at the top of power. I would quietly go meet him somewhere just because he had 10 minutes to talk in a job that doesn't give you 10 minutes to talk. And so I would just go meet him somewhere in New Orleans to have a little time together in a just ridiculously busy job. And I wouldn't tell anybody that I had met him while I was working at ESPN. And then I'd get back and everybody in the company would reach out to me. Hey, heard you met with Skipper. Like, I'd hear from everybody. And I told him one time, because Skipper said this of me and Simmons. He's like, there's only two people in the building who have my number, and there's only one of them who won't use it. Because I never asked him for anything. He'd given me everything I wanted. Like, I was like, make me more Miami. That's all I want. And leave me alone. That's all I want. And he gave me that, and I got suspended for billboards and all the stuff trying to bounce against the machine. But he gave me everything I asked for. So I never asked that dude for anything. I never picked up that phone. Never. But when I said to him one time, calling him because I had to, I'm like, look, I'm not telling everybody that I'm meeting with you. I don't know how this is getting out. And he's like, no, I am. I want them to know. And that's how he protected us for a long time. And this is the part where Stugatz is left sick. We have already killed Mike. Bill Gill may or may not return. I don't know. If he does, it's pretty obviously with a new name, because he needs to now become Bill Gill.
Do we need to call Stugatz so he can get the punchline, or does he have to listen to the podcast to find this?
Well, is he okay? Because he's in the ambulance, yeah. And I wouldn't want you to interrupt him. That's because fair. He left here not feeling very well. So if you want to call him, because I'm headed to the punchline because it's great, at the middle of the art that was free dumb. And I'm sorry, tomorrow we will replay some of the audio and relive this in a more fun way. But I want the audience to understand how we go from me sobbing in this chair, relaxed, surrounded by what I believe is my family, as Tony rushes in thinking he's more important than he is. And we have a party at the top of the Clevelander because we cashed the bet. Everyone's children will have health insurance.
Now, hang on a second, Dan. I appreciate that you want to get to this punchline. You've been teasing the audience. But currently on the line, asking to make an apology, is Leonard from Palm Springs.
Are you kidding
he's
me?
He's demanding. The line now.
Do I need to offer the context here? This was the middle of the night and we were doing a telethon with donations.
I mean, it's really up to Leonard whether or not he wants to allow you to offer the context, whether he just wants to berate you, really.
All right, Leonard, berate me. I don't think that's going to happen again. Leonard was kind enough to donate money during the telethon, but then there were some misunderstandings and whatnot. So Leonard from Palm Springs, I guess I should apologize to you for making you so angry that you screamed at me.
Hello, am I on the radio?
Well, sort of. It's sort of something that used to kind of be like the radio, but yes, kind of.
Yes, Mr. Levitard, this is Leonard. We spoke during your telethon, and there was a misunderstanding. I believed I was donating. I live in Palm Springs. I'm retired, 91 years old, and I believed I was donating to my local PBS station, but as it turned out, we had crossed wires. My granddaughter had gotten me this new phone, and there was some confusion with it. This damn thing's like it's not a phone. It's like from that old Star Trek. Anyway, there was confusion, and it turned out I had donated to your program, to your radio program, to your AM radio program.
Sort of. It's not really, Leonard, I'm sorry. Just to give the audience the context of what happened, and so they're not too confused because they may not have heard the call. It escalated because you thought you were calling PBS, and I told you, well, that's not what we're doing here. It's a different kind of telethon, and then you got very angry.
Well, I don't want to get into the particulars. I didn't get very angry out of the blue. We crossed some wires. The bottom line is, I behaved in a way that was inappropriate, and my granddaughter and my children, the next day, I came into my living room and they were all seated there. And they said, this cannot stand. And I told them, because I can take it on the chin. I can look at the mess I leave on a table and I can say I left that mess and I can clean it up. So I have written a letter of apology to you, Mr. Levitard, and your group of coworkers on your AM radio show. And I would like to read it on your show for my family, for my family's name, for my grandchildren, if that is okay.
Leonard, it will be okay in a second, but I just want to give the audience the context for exactly what it is that happened Saturday, because it surprised all of us and it was disorienting and many people may not have heard it. So before you read this, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and I appreciate the humility in your apology, but so people know what it is you're apologizing for, can we play the sound of the misunderstanding? Leonard, thank you. Thank you for being on with us. And we do appreciate your contribution from Palm Springs. I'll put you on the phone here with a producer.
I'm a gentleman. I was raised as a gentleman, but I'll say this straight up. Fuck you.
Wow. Well, he also said at some point, were you going to spill my guts like paint or something?
The point is, I have a temper. I've been through some things in my life, but I'm also a believer that you treat people with respect, and I broke that belief, that core tenet of my character, and I embarrassed my grandchildren and my family, and there was a misunderstanding. I thought I was donating to my PBS station, which my late wife, Gwendolyn, who just passed away a year ago, and I very much enjoyed, and I was informed that, in fact, I had given money to you and your sports AM radio group, and I lost my temper, and I embarrassed myself. And if you would allow me, I would like to read this letter of apology, which I was up all night writing and rewriting in longhand, and I would very much appreciate the chance to set this right, Mr. Levitard.
Okay, please. Thank you, Leonard, and I appreciate your humility in this moment. Continue.
Here we go. I was born in North Gross, Ohio in 1934 as the seventh child of Irish immigrants Patrick and Harriet. My father worked his whole life as a janitor at a shovel factory, and my mother was a secretary for a blind chewing tobacco executive. I was taught the value of hard work and honest words by them from a young age. In 1947, when the saint of the family, my beloved brother Peter, passed away in the middle of the night suddenly at the age of 23 after an incident involving alcohol and the polar bear habitat at the Columbus Zoo, I started to suspect that this whole dance we call life may just not be so fair. Then 2 years later, when my brother Michael died at age 19 while leaving flowers in Peter's memory in that same polar bear habitat, my suspicions were confirmed. Life is a kick in the nuts, and life is wearing steel-toed boots. In 1957, after proudly serving in the Marines under the late great General MacArthur in the Korean conflict, I met Gwendolyn, my beloved Gwendolyn, and we were married for 62 years before she passed away last year. For every one of those years, we kept our lives simple and consistent. We had fish every Friday night, and we never strayed from the missionary position. Some may call that boring, but it gave us three lovely children who in turn gave us five grandchildren and one grandchild that I've disowned. In 1989, I met Burt Reynolds at a Reds game. He was every bit as charming and friendly as he appeared in the pictures. In 1992, I used my lawfully owned firearm to kill a home intruder. Police pursued no charges and told me I probably could have given them some lessons on marksmanship. Even though we all laughed, I did swell with pride at that compliment. In 1997, I appeared on the game show Card Sharks, and though I did not win monetary rewards, I won the greatest treasure there is, a memory that will last a lifetime. In 2007, sadly and regrettably, I once again was compelled to use lethal force against a home intruder. Because the weapon I used was a baseball bat, I did have to go to trial, but was acquitted. And that same baseball bat, a George Foster model, now hangs over my gas fireplace in Palm Springs. In 2013, I did in fact win $700 from a Lotto scratcher card. It was as thrilling and as exciting as I always dreamed it would be. The point, Mr. Levitard, of recounting all of these cherished memories is to let you know that I've had a very, very good life. Then on June 6, 2021, I made a simple call to my PBS station for their annual fundraiser, or at least I thought that's what I had done. As it turns out, I had accidentally dialed an ex-TV host who had lost his job for impugning the dignity of our nation's president. Rather than take this misunderstanding with class, I lashed out and used profane language, disgracing my children, grandchildren, my hometown, the state of Ohio, my late wife, Gwendolyn, and the late great Woody Hayes. So it is with tremendous anguish and shame that I would like to apologize to you and your co-workers for my hurtful words and temper. As a proud Buckeye and war veteran, I never, never dreamed I would cross paths with your unseemly and transient world, but I did. And the fact is, I let it get the better of me. Please accept my verbal apology and the Bronze Star I received in 1952 for killing a three-man enemy 38 cal machine gun team with nothing but my bare hands, an old knife, and two hand grenades, and the machine gun, and minimal air support. The medal is being DSL'd to you right now, Mr. Levitard, as we speak. Once again, please accept my sincerest apologies. That is Mr. Leonard Craftings.
Thank you, Leonard Craftings. I appreciate and accept your apology. I want to hear more about your story, honestly, with Card Sharks. I don't know that there's time, but I appreciate your apology. It was very moving. And thank you for sharing your story with us, because that was also very interesting.
I lived a long life, Mr. Levitard, and I've done things I'm not proud of, and I've done things I'm very proud of. And the idea that a man of my stature, a man who for 52 years was vice president of marketing for Dawson Belts, one of the finest makers of men's belts in the North Midwest, would bring himself to behave and use the type of language I used on your show will be an eternal pain for me. And I'm so glad to hear that you have accepted my apology, and I hope in the future we can call each other friends.
Yes, let us not. Yes, it's forgiveness. Yes, of course I will accept your apology, and of course I forgive you. And thank you, Leonard, for being on with us and extending that to us. I don't want to upset you, and I hope that I have not upset you.
You have been nothing but graceful during this whole conversation, Mr. Levitard. If you had greeted me with anger and admonishment, I would not have blamed you after the language I used. And I must admit, I judged you harshly. When I looked you up on, when my daughter looked you up on the Wikipedia and the internet, I saw things, quite frankly, I didn't care for. I didn't appreciate the way you had portrayed the president of our country. I didn't appreciate the way you talk about the people of our country. And I saw that the great company of Disney, an American institution, had decided that you were not fit to work for them. And I agreed with that decision. But after speaking to you, I realize that this world we live in is more complicated than oftentimes this sometimes tough old man gives it credit for.
The stuff you read, what did you find so objectionable?
Honestly, Mr. Levitard, I don't want to get into this. I really don't. I just have different beliefs than you. I believe the president should be honored and respected, and that his word should be taken without question. And you have questioned our great leaders in the past, our great president. And I find that, frankly, once again, I say this as a friend, I find it despicable and lowly, the words you said about our cherished, wonderful president.
But isn't that what you fought for? The freedom of that speech, that democracy, that criticism? Isn't that why you killed people?
I mean, I find it quite interesting or frankly, infuriating, but I won't let it get the best of me that you would be inside my head and know what I fought for. That is not what I fought for. I fought to protect our president and our flag and our nation, and I fought to protect the soldier to my right and left. And I did terrible things in that war. I pushed my thumbs through the eyes of a living man while he screamed for mercy, but I did not do it. So a man like yourself down in Miami doing whatever drugs you put up your nose can say harsh words against that fine man who led our nation for 4 years. My temper is rising right now.
Come on.
But I won't let it get the better of me. I won't.
You don't know that I think stick things up my nose, Leonard. Like, I think that's presumptuous of you, okay?
Is it? Answer me then with the honor in your heart. Have you never put anything up your nose?
I have never put anything up my nose.
Never. Not once. Not even some sort of stay awake when you were studying in college. Really, nothing up your nose.
Nothing up my nose, no.
And once again, this old fool has let his temper get the better of him, Mr. Levitard. And I apologize to you, and I'm assuming you have a wife and many children, and I apologize to you. God, I have become quite the old goat in my later years.
I don't have any children, Leonard. It's all okay. It's fine. I'm sorry to have upset you again, but you and I don't seem to agree on much of anything. So we will let you go, and I mean no insult by that. It just doesn't seem like we're built the same.
It seems like there's some insult behind your words. You say it with that veneer of professionalism the way your kind likes to do, but I can see your snide judgment behind it.
My kind?
And I will stare at it like a gentleman, and I will walk past it. But honest to
my kind,
honest to the Lord Almighty, if we were on a street, you let me finish. If I saw you on the street, I'd give you a rap on the jaw, Mr. Smartmouth. Do you hear me, you mother? I've done it again. I've used words. I'm disgraced. My granddaughter's motioning for me to hang up. I am sorry. I am sorry. My bronze star should be arriving soon.
Okay. I will thank you, Leonard, for being on with us. Thank you.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
One of the things that's happened around here as we close this thing out and celebrate a really cool time in this show's history, I want people to get the punchline on the joke because it was the funniest thing. You had so many amazing things. Chris, we didn't get to any of them today. I want to the rest of the week. Sort of as all of this is happening, I don't know what the highlights were for you guys. But what I'm telling you is that the epicenter of our company in the middle of this workday that represents the greatest spiritual endeavor that I've ever believed in, surrounded by family and friends, loving everybody and hoping we can make it go in a way that makes all of this sustainable in the new age. So I go from the one room that is a party and having fun and is the reason the algorithm is going crazy on the numbers. And I go to the other room where they're simply concerned about Kate. And so I walk into the other room, where all the people here paid to protect us with a heart are building the heart of this corporation. They're a little scared because this thing vibrates and it's scary and people love the High Wire Act, but it's dangerous. People fall on the floor and eat pepper, the world's hottest pepper, when they shouldn't. And what I'm greeted by is a bunch of caring individuals that are learning about the show, trying to get the show real fast and real quick. And they're sitting at a table and they look, I tell them as I come out, because I'm shaken by what's happened as well. Because I was trying to postpone it. I just was trying to get to this table so that we could talk about stuff. But this is the difficulty in comedy in the modern age, right? The High Wire Act, what comedians are complaining about is this. You can end me in a second. And isn't part of the joke the reason for its existence is so you could say the things you want and make fun of culture. And so I walk into that and they're crushed and they care about these people. Like, I need to teach them this. I've been trying to teach it to them for 5 months. You need to care about these people the way I care about these people. They are all making this bet on you guys that you can figure out how to make this go. And they did in 3 weeks by pivoting to DraftKings. Like when it was like us crushed about paywall, in 3 weeks, they made that deal faster than Stugatz's deal got made after that. And you can imagine how Stugatz gets when he sees $50 million. They made that deal from in that space in 3 weeks as a company. They pivoted because they care about what we care about. For freedom to be freedom to be freedom and less dumb. For freedom to be freedom to be freedom and protected by corporate in a way that doesn't war with corporate. Corporate's here to help us. I'm dealing with all this, right? I got a hole in my stomach. I've sobbed at the beginning of this because I know we're going to make the algorithm go crazy. But what about the humanity? What about, oh, Kate's in pain. like health is first. The joke's not first. Health is first. And Kate is saying, no, I signed up for it. I made the mistake. I chose this. My mom says I had to go in. But did we put pressure on her to do something that was unwise after we'd just seen Tom do something that was unwise? And so from all of that, the emotion of it, the pain, the birthing, the labor of how art gets made, even though you guys think we're just screwing around here all the time and I'm an asshole who just brings race stuff to the discussion as if it's all not purposely built so that you come to the circus addicted, so that I feed you the medicine and you eat it because you can't leave because we end that telethon 10 minutes early and you guys yell at us because you wanted 10 more. And so in all of that, dying inside and joyful in my heart, stimulated by executives that I'm like, yeah, they care. Yeah, they care. Whittingham doesn't know any of this. And Fancy Lad, who has now gotten the attention of both Mike Schur, who created The Office and Parks and Rec and The Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Rutherford Falls and Hack, some of the best television you'll see. And Adam McKay, who loves Fancy Man, who has created across a generation of comedy, is asking me about Fancy Man. What can we do with Fancy Man?
It's Fancy Lad, Dan.
Here comes Fancy Lad.
Fine.
Here comes Fancy Lad in the middle of a table of executives where I'm crestfallen and joyful. And he lands in his seat with a thud that could be heard, like lands in his seat with something that like shook the table of its gravity. And Fancy Lad has arrived and he's sitting among the executives, 28-year-old snot-nosed Fancy Lad. And he looks at everybody, ashen-faced, me included. And he says, wasn't that grand?
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.